In chapel today, as we move toward Easter, we bring to life the death and resurrection of Jesus through the lens of the Gospel of John, with Scripture, the New Living Translation, and dramatization. In the 1986 one-man performance, St. John in Exile by Dean Jones, the first clip begins with John's description of what happens after the death and resurrection of Lazarus, which in John precipitates the death of Jesus. Our readers are Don Williams, Mark Wilkinson, Eddie Harris, and Joanne and Jesse Long.
Jesus raised Lazarus from the grave. The fame of it flew before us and struck deeply into the hearts of the priests. What people wouldn't want a king who could raise the dead? Could all the legions of Rome defeat an Israel led by such a power? This was what the priests were afraid the people were thinking, and they were right. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, thousands greeted him, waving palm branches, putting down their clothes for a pathway for the colt that he was riding on. And they shouted the traditional greeting for a victorious king of Israel. Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! And the priest trembled. It was obvious to all who had eyes. If Jesus wanted the people to make him king, all he had to do was say so. And right then, they decided to kill him. A few nights later, on the eve of Passover, we had our last supper together in the upper room of a house owned by Mark's parents. I believe most of what Jesus said that night, you know from Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospel, but I have a few remembrances of my own. I remember after supper, Judas got up and went out on an errand. Wasn't supposed to do that, the Passover. We all felt a tremendous heaviness come over us, and Jesus knew, but he didn't spare our feelings. It was as if he was saying, "Now, you're no longer disciples. Now you're ministers. Now you must stand. Love one another. If you love one another, the world will know you're mine. The hour is coming when all of you will run away and leave me. But I'll not be alone, because the Father's always with me." At that point, Peter leaps to his feet and says, Master, I will never leave you. I'd lay my life for you." Would you, Peter? Peter, before the rooster crows, you'll have denied three times you even know me.
Simon Peter followed Jesus, as did another of the disciples. That other disciple was acquainted with the high priest, so he was allowed to enter the high priest's courtyard with Jesus. Peter had to stay outside the gate. Then the disciple who knew the high priest spoke to the woman watching the gate, and she let Peter in. The woman asked Peter,
"You're not one of that man's disciples, are you?"
"No, I am not."
Because it was cold, the household servants and the guards had made a charcoal fire. They stood around it, warming themselves. And Peter stood with them, warming himself. Inside, the high priest began asking Jesus about his followers, what he had been teaching them. Jesus replied,
"Everyone knows what I teach. I've preached regularly in the synagogues and the temple where the people gather. I have not spoken in secret. Why are you asking me this question? Ask those who heard me. They know what I said."
Then one of the of the temple guards standing nearby slapped Jesus across the face.
Is that the way to answer the high priest?
If I said anything wrong, you must prove it. But if I'm speaking the truth, why are you beating me?
Then Annas bound Jesus and sent him to Caiaphas, the high priest. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was standing by the fire, warming himself, and they asked him again,
"You're not one of his disciples, are you?"
He denied it.
"No, I am not."
But one of the household slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked,
"Didn't I see you out there in the olive grove with Jesus?"
Again, Peter denied it, and immediately a rooster crowed. Then Pilate had Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip. The soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put a purple robe on Jesus.
"Hail, King of the Jews!"
they mocked as they slapped him across the face. Pilate then went outside and said to the people,
"I'm going to bring him out to you now, but understand clearly, I find him not guilty."
Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said,
"Look, here is the man."
When they saw him, the leading priests and temple guards began shouting,
Crucify him! Crucify him!
"Take him yourself and crucify him. I find him not guilty."
The Jewish leaders replied,
By our law, he ought to die because he calls himself the Son of God.
When Pilate heard this, he was more frightened than ever. He took Jesus back into the headquarters again and asked him,
"Where are you from?"
But Jesus gave no answer.
"Why don't you talk to me? Don't you realize that I have the power to release you or crucify you?"
Then Jesus said,
"You would have no power over me at all unless it were given to you from above. So the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin."
Then Pilate tried to release him, but the Jewish leaders shouted,
If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who declares himself a king is a rebel against Caesar.
When they said this, Pilate brought Jesus out to them again. Then Pilate sat down on the judgment seat on the platform that is called the stone pavement. It was now about noon on the day of preparation for the Passover. And Pilate said to the people,
"Look, here is your king.
Away with him! Crucify him!
What? Crucify your king?
We have no king but Caesar!
The leading priests shouted back. Then Pilate turned Jesus over to them to be crucified.
Outside the city walls, the sunlight warms us as we follow to the place where the Romans like to kill our people. A little hill called Golgotha, shaped like a human skull. Peter and I hide in the mob, afraid of arrest. And with Jesus are two thieves. The Romans crucify them first. They resist, screaming, struggling like mutilated animals. And then on the ground between them, Jesus lays himself on his cross. He offers his hand and his feet. And I remember his words, "No man takes my life, I lay it down of myself." Iron spikes, falling hammers, blood spurting up from wrists and ankles. Oh God! They raise the cross. And the full weight of his body falls on his flowing wounds. Still, he does not cry out. A Roman soldier raises a ladder, tacks a sign above Jesus' head, "Jesus the Nazarene, King of the Jews." The Roman governor has made a joke. Angry Pharisees push past us. Take down that sign! He is not our king! Roman spears push them back. We have our orders. It stays! And so, in mockery and jest, he is first proclaimed to the nations. Jesus speaks. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. My heart breaks. Where the cross is planted, Jesus' blood and the earth make dark red mud. His swelling ankles disjointed by the iron spike, lacerated knees, cramping thighs, modesty outraged, his whip-torn chest and arms heaving for breath. He rises up on the nails. My God! My God! Why have you forsaken me? Into thy hands I commend my spirit.
Afterward, Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus because he feared the Jewish leaders, asked Pilate for permission to take down Jesus' body. When Pilate gave permission, Joseph came and took the body away. With him came Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus at night. The place of crucifixion was near a garden, where there was a new tomb never used before. And so, because it was the day of preparation for the Jewish Passover, and since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved.
They've taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him.
Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrapping lying there. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first went in, and he saw and he believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scripture that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying.
Dear woman, why are you crying?
The angels ask her.
Because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him.
She turned to leave, and someone standing there touched her. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him.
Dear woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?
She thought he was the gardener.
Sir, if you've taken him away, tell me where you've put him. I'll go and get him.
Mary.
She turned to him and cried out.
Rabboni.
Don't cling to me, for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.
Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them,
I've seen the Lord.
Then she gave them a message, his message. The disciples saw Jesus do many miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. And we can add, love as he loved.
Now you must stand. Love one another. If you love one another, the world will know you're mine.
Let's stand and sing together, please.
Love one another.